Head to Whole Foods Market to jumpstart your January during our New Year boosting event with savings on feel-good favorites store-wide. Save on organic picks, wellness staples, and more all month long.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
I want to talk about TikTok. So they've recently announced that they plan to ban users under the age of 18 from using certain filters on their videos. It comes after child safety groups accused the app TikTok of adding to the already compounding mental health crisis for young people. Joining me to discuss this is Marie Loftus, who's the director at the Aylesbury Clinic, and Isla Twight, the psychotherapist and author. You're both very, very welcome. Thanks a million for coming into us. Is this a good idea, Isla, to restrict access to these filters?
Yes.
Actually, do you know what I should have said first? For people who aren't using TikTok, what are we talking about when we say filters?
Filters are a way of digitally enhancing your face. And it could be a cat filter, or it could totally just alter your looks, make you look younger, make you have a different kind of nose, different kind of mouth, and really fit into some kind of beauty ideal standard.
Okay. So I assume that the cat filter or the dog, they're less problematic. They're just kind of silly.
Yeah. The silly filters are just a bit of fun, but it's the filters that are really altering how you look, but still making you look real.
Yeah.
They're the ones, you know, that are potentially problematic. They're not problematic for everybody,
yeah,
right? But they are definitely problematic for young people who have mental health issues and who have low self-esteem. And there are some studies out there about using the filters increasing anxiety and depression and affecting self-esteem. And then the problem is that sometimes these young people then, there's a pressure on them to go out and actually get real work done to match how they look on their filters, because they can't tolerate what they actually look like without the filters.
So, and is the accusation that it causes these problems, or that people who have these problems already, it kind of compounds it?
For most of these issues with social media, it exacerbates underlying problems rather than is the definitive cause of problems. So that's what most of the research say, but can seriously exacerbate underlying problems. And we also know that over this, say, 12 to 15 year period, particularly the mental health of young girls has been getting much, much worse. And so people like John Haight would say that this is fundamentally around social media, really, and the involvement in social media. Now, I mean, it's hard to draw a straight line with that, but there's no doubt the statistics show much worsening mental health for young women.
And so you've got, I suppose we've talked about before on this show, and you've had conversations like this as well, And it's been a reality for quite a few years. This idealized version of humanity that maybe exists on social media that young people might aspire to. I guess the filter allows them to apply that idealized version of reality to their own face. And that's the danger.
It allows them to apply that to their own face and then interact with other people through that avatar. So then at the idea of actually meeting somebody else in real life when they're not looking like this becomes very challenging. And there's also, you know, another whole suite of research about how people are staying at home much more and not socialising. And apparently that trend started prior to COVID, but was significantly increased during COVID. Young people are having less sex, less interaction, less relationship. We see them having difficulties connecting socially. They don't understand how to form relationships socially. And most relationships are today formed on dating sites, which is absolutely fine. However, a lot of the photographs up on the dating sites are going to be photographs with filters. And so then are you actually going to go and meet the person when all you can do is go and show up with your very ordinary face, not that very Kardashian enhanced face?
Marie Loftus, like I say, is with us as well. So, Marie, would you see this people coming into the clinic with, you know, a picture of themselves through a filter and say, this is what I want to look like?
Constantly, absolutely constantly. So basically, we welcome it in Aylesbury Clinic. So hopefully it's not just a policy change, but that it'll be a cultural change. Since COVID, we have very much seen this, that people will walk in with unrealistic expectations. In Aylesbury Clinic, it's all doctors who inject. So they obviously are trained in relation to spotting a BDD patient, which is a body dysmorphic patient, or a patient who may be vulnerable in some way or other. So you have to be very, very careful during the consultation process, which should be 30 minutes, which should discuss all this. But more and more since COVID, we would absolutely see this. So I think it's like it's the Gen Alpha. So it's the under 16s here. So like they have communicated through filters, whether it started out with funnies and whatever it is, but it's a form of communication for them. So that in combination with the whole Kardashian thing, I mean, you have to be so careful, and there is such an onus on you as a clinic working within the aesthetic industry to be very mindful and wary of this. And it would be.
And the real danger, I assume, is where people go to somebody providing this service who's maybe not trained in this regard. We all know of it, like anecdotally, there's people, they'll call around to your house and they'll give you these injections.
Well, we wouldn't, obviously, our kind of demographic would be 35 plus, but there are obviously with the lack of regulation here, which is, you know, an ongoing debate in this country. There are people who can buy product online, who can inject willy-nilly, and that's it.
Oh, she's doing the Botox now.
Front room.
She's cutting the hair, but then she's doing the Botox.
And it's absolutely lethal for kids of this age who are experiencing problems like this. And
Do you see it with older demographics as well? Obviously not to the same degree you do. You see kind of with the filter as well. Yeah. This is actually what I want to look like now.
Obviously you will have a BDD patient, you know, and a certain percentage of your patients will be that. But you also will see patients coming in with very unrealistic expectations. So, I mean, if you see an image, what really, it's because I work in the industry. So if you're looking at somebody who, say, for example, Jennifer Aniston, whoever it may be, there are hyperbaric chambers involved. There are dermal fillers. There are Botox. There is a litany of stuff that these people are having done. But in the eyes of the normal patient, punter, whatever it is, they're just accepting this as reality. And their expectations are absolutely, you know, so when they come in, you have to get below that and you have to see. This is why 3D is a huge thing now in aesthetics. So you can actually show them the realistic changes that you can make, and you can show them through different machines or technology, and that is a very viable way of discussing with the patient.
Is it on a much lower level, makeup is a way of kind of changing your appearance and, you know, wanting to look in a different way and in your own mind look better. So, you know, where's the line? If we accept that that's one end and kind of, you know, going into a clinic kind of with an utterly unrealistic picture of yourself through a filter and saying, I want whatever it's going to take to get me to look like that is the other end. And that's kind of the harmful end of the spectrum. Like kind of between both do you kind of draw the line and say some altering of how you appear in the world is okay, but not so much?
Well, I mean, in terms of makeup, I suppose traditionally through many cultures, we've adorned our bodies with paint and with jewellery and with stuff like that. And that's just, it's not changing the body. It's a form of adornment. But then there's all of those minor procedures like little bits of filler, little bits of Botox that you know, maybe hold back aging or maybe make you look a little bit different. You know, that technology is there. And I think we can't put those things back in the box. It works for some people. It doesn't work for other people. Some people have good genes and don't need that. Some people just see it as a little part of their beauty routine. Obviously, the beauty industry makes an enormous amount of money out of all of these things. But that people want to do that, I think that's reasonably okay. It's really where these things become compulsive for somebody. And so you see somebody get lip fillers and then 6 months later, bigger and bigger, and they just don't know where to stop. It's quite a compulsive behavior. People getting too much Botox. There was this fabulous,
sorry, not to make a kind of a joke of it, but is it a little like the kind of the Father Ted tapping the dent out of the car thing? It's just like they kind of think each time, this is it now. This little bit.
It actually is an addiction, though.
It's sort of like an emotional compulsion addiction.
Yeah.
There was a great scene in Absolutely Fabulous where Patsy is sticking Botox in herself and she ends up paralyzed from the back of the bed because she puts so much in. But what happens is that little bit of change feels good, and then you want a bit more change and a bit more change, and there's a limit to how much change you can get. And there are so many people, but I mean probably more women than men, who just feel really self-conscious about how they look. And mostly we would think from a psychotherapy perspective is that there's other distress in them and they're locating it in their looks.
Marie, you would see that, I'm sure, manifesting that addiction. You know, how do you recognize it? How do you know someone, oh, this person now is not kind of, doesn't have a healthy attitude to the work we're doing or that they're getting done?
Well, the doctors would be obviously trained very much so in this, and they would be very easily able to spot and recognize a BDD patient upon entering the clinic. What I'm more in relation to this whole change, the cultural change, is I'm hoping that this will spark debate. This is my main thing, that this will, there's a sea of change. We even see with Australia today banning under 16s on social media. I hear patients, groups of mothers getting together who are banning kids in primary schools from having phones. So I'm hoping that this is just part of a whole cultural change in relation to this. And
Without that, I mean, do you suspect this is the problem that will get worse and worse?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
It just is getting worse and worse. You have 12, 13, 14-year-old kids wanting to use retinols, which are acids for which should help older skin minimize wrinkles and stuff. These kids don't need it, but all of this stuff's being marketed through them to them through TikTok. TikTok is the stickiest of the social media platform. It really hooks young people in the algorithm, gets them really into it. And
there's a huge following now amongst 8 and 9 year olds for skincare.
Yeah.
So they have like their skincare routine at nighttime. So this is the level that it is actually aspiring to. So so a welcome change.
Yeah, well, listen, 087 1400 106, if people have a view on this, young people kind of form relationships because they've been conditioned to think that they are the most important individual in the world. They're unwilling to compromise their ideals and values to find happiness with another person. Plus, they're all vain. God love them, says one listener.
All vain. They're that all is vain. Clearly
every,
so vain.
Every single young person is vain.
That's it.
Oh, I'd hate to think what they say about radio presenters. Kay says, good riddance to those awful filters. They set terrible, unrealistic standards that are so unattainable. And Sally in Dunleary says, I was shocked to see graduation photographers offering filters recently for graduation pics, teeth, hair, skin, etc. There you go. That is... That's kind of a worrying trend as well, isn't it? Because my God, I mean, when you graduate, you're what, 23, 24? I mean, you look bloody great. I wish I looked like I was 23 or 4 again.
It's just blurring the lines of reality. Yeah. And, it's, you know.
And for some people, the blurring of the lines of reality is really problematic.
And that's where the danger lies.
Marie Loftus is the director at the Aylesbury Clinic, and Isolt White is a psychotherapist and author. Thank you both very much for popping in.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.